I'll never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
So we're back for another podcast. We turned 32 this week.
That was very enthusiastic, man.
Yeah.
Very enthusiastic.
Sure, why not? It's Interstellar week.
Yeah.
But are we as enthusiastic? Stay tuned to find out. And keep watching the skis. Skies. We'll do that again.
We may need some ADR on this podcast.
Not all we need.
True that. True that.
No, I'm not going there. Anyway, so, what have you been watching, Jason?
Oh, Christ, I forgot about this question.
We've only done this 30-odd times.
Hey, may I ask Philip first so I can think about it, please? Philip, what have you been watching?
Well, the notable watch for me in the last week was one of the new releases from last week. I went to see Citizen 4.
Not in the top 10, so... Yep.
Yes, really? Indeed. Hence, I will talk about it now. I also went to rewatch Mr. Turner, but that's another story. Now...
It's just creepy. He does not like to be watched. The restraining order explicitly says that you need to stay back.
Anyway, Citizen 4, which is Laura Poitras' documentary, not just about Edward Snowden, starring Edward Snowden, it's basically the story, the whole thing, as in real time. She's recording Edward Snowden revealing all these secrets to the journalists from The Guardian.
Can I ask a question on it, though?
Yes.
Was there a movie being made before anything happened? I don't understand how it starts in that regard.
Snowden approached Poitras first.
But was she filming and... When did she start filming?
Well, she's a documentary filmmaker, so yeah, she tends to record.
Had made other films with political themes and ideas behind
it. And as a result, Snowden contacted her to reveal the information.
Like, this was recorded in the hotel in Hong Kong, where the journalist from The Guardian came to meet Snowden because he told them he wanted to reveal something. He told Poitras, I want to tell the world, come and film it. And she did. And
you got to love The Guardian for sending a journalist from London to Hong Kong to meet with this guy who claims that he has state secrets.
I mean, it paid off when he was surprised for The Guardian and Washington Post.
And what's more, this film, as a result, it's one of the best of the year. I was blown away. It has jumped into my top five.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
It's the best thriller I've seen. It's terrifying when you see just how far the reach of the NSA went. I wasn't terribly familiar with the Snowden story, I must admit. So, if you're not sure about the story, that's the perfect mindset to go see it, because the revelations, just, they are gobsmacking. And as well as that, it helps that Snowden himself, he's just a regular guy, and quite charming in his way, but, you know, he's not a noble hero, he's not a boo-hiss baddie, even though a lot of people will probably make up their minds about him after watching it. I know I have. He's a fascinating character in a fascinating film, and I cannot recommend it highly enough.
That sounds amazing, actually. Now that's added another film to my list to watch, Phil, and almost impossible list to get to through, but thank you.
Ever growing.
There's three films that I've kind of watched in the last week. One of them is in the top 10, one of them is a new release, and another one I rewatched.
Let's hear the rewatch then.
God help me, I rewatched it because it was added to Netflix in the US.
What was it?
To see if it was as bad as I remember.
Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you something, guys.
Why is he bringing
this? This film is dreadful. Beyond dreadful. You really need to see it again.
I need to see it. I really want to see it now. Now you've set it to my list.
You should watch it. I know you've seen it, man.
Yes.
And you like it a little bit.
I don't think it's dreadful.
No. It's just me then.
Yeah.
I just laugh because the look on Jay's face when he tells us this is so stark, as if to say, the president has been shot.
It's just like...
Snowpiercer is dreadful.
It's the fact that people keep saying it's brilliant, and it's like, I feel like I'm missing something, so I have to go back just in case. Hang on a second, Jay. Maybe it's a deranged masterpiece that you have missed. It isn't. Isn't. I wish it was, for God's sake.
Well, I'll put it this way, Jay. The Godfather Part 2 is at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Someone out there doesn't like it.
They're idiots, though. And I hope you're not making some sort of weird comparison to...
No, I don't know whether you're the idiot or whether you're the one-eyed man in the Kingdom of the Blind.
Quite frankly,
I will see.
Neither do I.
I'll have a look at the film and then we'll decide.
Then we should have a discussion about it.
Yeah, I don't know when I'll get around to it, though. I don't... Netflix US, don't ask me. Netflix, don't ask me. It's hopeless.
Somebody sort them out.
Yeah.
I am a Luddite, you know this.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just so glad you rewatched it, because that's amusing me no way.
I really thought I might like it more. I tried. I really
did you
tried.
Like it less?
Not that same.
Niall?
Brilliant. I mostly I've been watching the films that are out. I saw Interstellar last night, and I saw ones that are out next week as well. And so I haven't seen, and we'll talk about them in next week's podcast. So I rewatched Hercules. The animated,
ooh,
the Disney animated Hercules.
I have strong opinions on this one.
Yeah, see, I have a very soft spot
I do.
For the anime, for Disney's Hercules. It has some terribly computer generated scenes in it.
97, it was early days.
And it kind of ruins it, because most of it is traditional hand-drawn animation, and then those scenes just jar. But
why was it done that way? In fact, like, if you are going to hand draw, wouldn't it just completely do
it's
that?
It's cheaper.
I can answer that.
Okay.
Because this film is a horrible, horrible jumble of.
This sounds like me talking.
It reeks. It reeks of Disney trying anything to make the film work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It's such a melange, a horrible, horrible melange slash blancmange slash whatever of. Of styles, like it's an ancient Greek story with Las Vegas stylings, gospel singing score, designed by Scarfe of all people,
yeah,
and a theme song sung by Michael Bolton. You are evil, movie. Evil.
Oh, I thought Michael Bolton was right up your alley.
Satan's alley.
the one redeeming feature: James Woods as Hades.
As Hades, James Woods as Hades is. Brilliant.
Because he's not a traditional villain. He plays him like a New York shyster.
Guys, I really want to watch this now. Like, I'm sold on this. I've never seen it. I want to see it now.
He's sold on. That's great. We dance, we kiss, we schmooze, we carry on, we go home happy. What do you say? Come on, huh? That's a quote.
Yeah.
It's the guys who made Little Mermaid.
Okay.
It should be better.
Yeah, it's got a score by Alan Menken. And
it's a terrible score by Alan Menken.
So
it's one of his worst.
But I still have a very soft spot for it, because I like the fable of Hercules, the story of Hercules.
It is a good, it's a great story, and I can't recall the last time I've really seen it done right on screen. Don't mention The Rock. I haven't seen it yet, and I doubt that's the one.
No, because
early Hercules, New York.
The labors happen within the first 20 minutes.
Hercules.
They're all
Hercules.
Over. And then it's Hercules Army General. Army Commander.
I also have bad memories of this Hercules, because it was the really the death knell for the Disney's 90s renaissance. Okay, Pocahontas was the first sign that this was going wrong. I quite like Hunchback of Notre Dame. Then this came along and just fat line.
Yeah, but then Mulan.
Mulan's okay.
And Lilo and Stitch.
Mm.
See, it's
there was something else in between those two, though. Mm. Brother Bear.
Oh, that was dreadful. And then there was the Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, but they never
yeah,
they never got back to the highs. And actually, Emperor's New Groove is blissfully forgettable. Not offensive. And Home of the Range, all this kind of stuff. Just the glory days of the Lion King.
That's a bad run, isn't it? Good Lord.
Yeah.
But then The Princess and the Frog was great, and it was a traditional animation, and that was, it didn't do well enough at the box office, so they
was that, was it Lasseter did that?
No,
wasn't he did.
Bolt.
Hmm.
Which was CD.
Yeah.
And then we got Tangled, and then onto the behemoth that was Frozen.
Yep, and
got it back a track.
Oh, they are. Well, as if Disney needed
but
another string to their bow.
Yeah,
mind you,
you've got Star Wars coming out. I mean, it doesn't matter. They can just print money
and they own Marvel.
And I think it's good Lord.
And on to the news. Star Wars has a new title.
Oh, God.
Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be called The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Yep.
Well, it's not about you guys. My interest is peaked by 20%.
I no that
to minus 20%. Sorry.
The Force Awakens would give the idea that the Force has somehow gone to sleep or is in a coma.
It's not a horrible title, it's fine.
I'm pretty sure that like at the return of the Jedi meant that the Jedi, the people who adhere to the Force most closely are back. So
yeah.
Shouldn't Does it need to awaken?
Well, considering it was a shambles of a film, maybe it does need to awaken.
Return of the Jedi. Yeah. No, it's good problems. Stuff there with a few
with Ewoks
and C-3PO being made a god for some reason.
That was funny though.
But again, the Ewoks are trying to be funny. It's not a series that needs that kind of broad humor. Give me a Han Solo one-liner or just something.
Yeah,
something simple.
He didn't have Lawrence Kasdan behind the wheel.
This is true.
Very true.
I'm not a massive fan of Star Wars, as you may guess. But, fine.
I could take or leave it. But
same here. Mostly leave it.
Good God.
He's bitter today. I don't like it.
Hey, hang on. This is a good day.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about good news then. Yes. For Jason. So, Song of the Sea is one of the 20 animated films that has been submitted for Oscar consideration. Philip is staying mute because he's not a fan.
I haven't seen it, but I'm looking forward to it, despite what Philip says.
Yeah, so it's...
Or it doesn't say.
What? Oh, right.
20 feature animations on the list. 5 will be chosen because Oscar rules state that if they have over 16, then 5 is the number of nominees. If it's under 16, then 3 is the number of nominees. So
how arbitrary.
Yeah.
It's the Academy.
Will it just have 7 or 9 like best film? I mean, how... Bizarre.
Well, the best film rules are very odd. They can have a maximum of 10, but the way that the rules work mean that it's almost impossible to have 10. 9 is...
But it makes no sense. They had 10 the first year they introduced this rule, and it's been 9 ever since.
But they left out... what was the last year? Clyde Lewin-Davis they left out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like, why not give it a goddamn nomination?
It has to do with how they're voting. So they vote... The youth vote.
Indeed.
1 to 10, and they... And then there was a chance of some of the smaller films getting into it.
Yeah.
But now they're voting 1 to 5.
Ah.
And so, yeah, it's...
And Jay, you're right. They already, even though last year they picked the most deserving Best Picture winner for a long time.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. No, that is true.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. Mm.
But, yeah, so that's good news. And Irish animation is in consideration. It's up against...
Our animation...
That's good, but we know what our money's on.
Yeah.
Hi, buddies!
It's up against the Lego movie, How to Train Your Dragon, Princess Kaguya, and... Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Wind Rises?
No, mm-hmm. That was last year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Did that one this year?
Mm. I love that film.
Mm.
Yeah, and so, it's a tough year.
It is.
But then it's also up against Planes, Fire and Rescue. So
there's
it won't be last. Anyway.
Well, we've talked about animation, and it's...
It's a peak year. It's incredible. It's
Serious money be made.
Will there be more news about this in the top 10? We shall see.
Also, better than this, because they are only the submissions, so they're only the ones that are eligible for consideration. There was 58 short animations eligible for consideration. It has been whittled down to 10, and Alan Holly's Coda is among the 10. So we have a nomination on the shortlist, or
on the shortlist. Irish animation's in rude health.
It is, with Brown Bag, Cartoon Saloon, and
they feel extraordinary
the Independence.
Stuff,
like. It's
punching way above their weight in terms of international terms, I would have thought.
True.
Very, very
well
good.
Done.
Very impressive to see that. Really, really is.
So this is Irish Film Board financed. It has shown at 50 festivals so far this year.
Wow.
It will show at 14 more before the end of the year.
Oh,
just the new Skunky Dog, is this what you're saying?
It's screening well internationally. It won Best Animated Short at South by Southwest.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
You know, it's...
She's good work.
It's picked up a number of awards at different festivals, and it's nice. It's voiced by Brian Gleeson. It tells the story of a drunkard sort of kind of wandering home at late at night. And
have you seen it?
It's a nice, simple animation. Yeah.
No harm in that. I like it. I like the sound of it.
Well, it's aired a lot, so and I tend to visit an awful lot.
You do.
Film
you tend to hang around a lot of short films.
So, I tend to see these things.
You do.
So, other Irish nominations. The British Independent Film Awards announced their nominations. The BIFAs, yes, they announced the nominations. So, this is any film that's made for under £20 million is eligible for consideration. The front runner is 71.
Come on, 71.
Which won? Which got 7 nominations, or none of 9
million
nominations.
Seems generous, no? Does anybody think? For independent film?
Well, the term independent is quite flexible.
No, it is, but I mean, 20 million budget, like, if you're under that slightly...
King's Speech was under.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's just kind of prestige film, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, let's just look at it today. The Wise and Wherefore.
They're not blockbusters.
I guess they're not.
The Irish nominations are. Calgary got 4 nominations. So
because it's a British film. It's in any film it wants to be. Because
it's a world cinema.
Yes. It's an experience.
It's a British and Irish co-production.
Is it?
Is it?
Is it indeed?
What proportion?
More than half the money came from the UK.
Oh, well, that'll please one man at least.
Yes.
So John Michael McDonagh, the one man, is up for Best Director.
Really?
And he's facing off against Lenny.
Come on, Lenny!
Lenny Emerson's Frank picked up 5 nominations.
Oh,
I much prefer the film to Calvary, so I
indeed.
So,
it's a better film.
One, this is a better film.
For Stephen Renix and his music and one.
Which is very good, actually. It really lives for it.
So, that's in the technical category that Stephen Renix is nominated. And also nominated in the technical category is Robbie Ryan for his cinematography.
It's a lovely looking film, that.
What's it, Catch Me Daddy? Or
that's the one.
Yeah. So, he's up for that. And then Andrew Scott is up as well for Pride.
Have you met Andrew Scott?
No, I have not.
I fear for that man the day it happens.
Me too.
Why?
When he finally lifts that restraining order.
Yeah, so that's it. The Irish film doing well there too. So it's great.
Good work. Good work.
Then, the American film market is on at the moment. It starts today in Santa Monica. And what this is it's basically like the Cannes, the Marché at Cannes, except in the US. It's where off film distributors and producers, actors and agents and people get together to peddle their wares, essentially. Sure. So, A Nightingale Falling is over there being represented by 7&7, who are a company from the UK. They're trying to sell it internationally, so it's great to see you.
It's
an independent Irish feature. It had a 6-week cinematic release, and in the course of that 6 weeks, it made back its shooting budget. So,
nice work. Anything is gravy from here on in.
Well, there's still the post production costs and things to cover, but still.
But not bad, though.
But I think even if it gets a small, even a little US run, that could help.
Well, cover, yeah.
So it's there's no sales announced on it yet, but there is sales announced on Jim Sheridan's new film, The Secret Scripture. So, and that hasn't even gone into production yet. That's starting filming in December.
I like the sound of this, and I've been saying for a while that Sheridan probably needs to come home and do something, because for a while he's been kind of displaced. The films are being, just to be, if we're generous, a little varying quality.
That's a very good adjective for Dreamhouse.
Yeah, it is.
So he's filming this.
This sounds interesting.
Which is based on a Sebastian Barry novel.
Prestige.
In Wicklow and in Sligo.
Yeah.
So, and he's gotten quite a good cast. He's got Eric Bana, Jack Rayner, T.O. James, Rooney Mara. They had Jessica Chastain until she had to sadly drop out due to scheduling conflicts.
It's a bit like, I mean, it's a fine cast. If he can bring up one for old time's sake, Jim, let's do it.
Go on, Jim.
Do it for the Gipper.
So that would be interesting. We will have more news on it, about the Secret Scripture when it goes into production, when we start seeing set photos and the like from it. So, other things. Michael Fassbender is up for the role of Steve Jobs.
I refuse to care about this, because this story is going, either the film is on, then it's off. It was
jolly.
Fincher, then it's not Fincher, then it was Bale, then it's not Bale, now it's Danny Boyle, and it may or may not be Fassie. Oh, good God.
But it's Aaron Sorkin on the
screen. Yeah, but I would not with Danny Boyle, though. I don't. Fincher, I could see the fit.
I don't know.
Visually, aesthetic wise, Boyle then Fincher.
Well, Boyle does the aesthetics, but whether he can.
He's strong enough to be economic with the words.
I'd be afraid his style might overwhelm the words, or it might be train spotting. Who knows? All I know is he needs a solid leading man in place. Fassie would be a good choice. Personally, I would have preferred Bale, just because I can see him as Jobs. But who knows?
I've very little interest in this film. I don't really care to see him
as Steve Wozniak.
That is a good fit.
Yeah.
But again, I don't care.
And the aforementioned Miss Chastain possibly in line for a role as well. Possibly, maybe.
As herself. That'd be great.
Female characters will be short-served in that for 2 reasons. One, it's a technology story. And 2, it's Sorkin.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true. The West Wing, Newsroom, so on.
He is not good at women.
No, he is not. They're ditzy and walk into closets. Watch the West Wing. It's pretty much all women do. Set fire to tables and do things. It's idiotic. Great show, but...
And do the Jekyll.
And the Jekyll, yeah, which is amazing. But that's the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Alison Janney.
Oh, a treasure.
The Jekyll is one of the things to see.
So, the London Irish Film Festival is on from November 19th to the 23rd. So, this is for the international listeners or anyone who happens to be in London that weekend. They're going to be showing a bunch of Irish films over there, which is great. The Oscar-considered Ombrudsness.
Yes.
To show over there. As
currently showing on TG Car.
That's, yeah, the, so this is
the TG version.
Version of,
yeah.
Gold by Niall Hery's Gold, which is just finished the cinema release, is having its UK premiere over there, as is Claire Dick's Broken Song.
I love that.
Yeah,
that was in my top 20 films last year. I don't think it got a release. It was on the film festival. It didn't get a release, but it's absolutely terrific.
No, it showed in the IFI.
Did it?
Yeah, it was.
I think
very,
it was only a screening,
yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
It was very brief,
but it's a
yeah.
terrific documentary. It really, really is.
Then the film based Masters, Poison Pen, the romantic comedy. That's it. It's showing in the Cork Film Festival before it is.
Okay.
And then this is very interesting. It's an experimental cinema documentary called Absences and Impossibilities. So it's the story of experimental cinema in Ireland from like the 30s.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
That does. I want to
see that.
Yeah,
we don't have a big range of experimentia these days. So,
but I wonder what we don't know should be interesting. You know, what we don't know, all stuff discovered maybe in the last...
What we don't know? Well, we don't know.
There are
no knowns. No, don't start. Oneself.
Then the Sinead O'Brien directed documentary about the Dunstores workers standing up to apartheid.
Yeah, I missed that. Stranger Than Fiction. I think that's the one that was on.
Yeah,
I heard really good stuff about it.
So that's called Blood Fruit, that's showing there
yeah.
as well. And then Robin Ron Burke's Stand By, the other romantic comedy that's out this November, is having its UK premiere there too. So that's out next
week. I like
week
this.
Here.
We have, okay, Irish comedy. Sure, mostly you think you know what you get, but two Irish romantic comedies.
Yeah, there's a nice
isn't it sweet?
Yeah.
difference of
it's
of
rare.
Films here. The documentary
we do tend to trade in misery a lot of the time, mm-hmm. so it's nice to see something lighter.
Which John Bruntness has a bit of, but yeah, well,
hey, listen, misery.
No, I'm not romance. I'm misery.
Hey, well, just a bit.
I've
seen
you
that TG Carol promo. Good God.
Have you
yeah,
watched
the,
it?
The Fish.
Not yet. I
have the either. I've recorded it. I'm going to watch the whole season
yeah,
series together.
No, it'd be good as, yeah, running it all together would be one way to watch it. I've been watching it week
two. Only way to watch the Fish.
Binge watching,
indeed.
And so it's a movie.
There's going to be four shorts as well. Breakfast Wine and Volkswagen Joe, which are both very, very good. How's About You and Deadly as well. Deadly is brilliant animation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is. I saw it offline and it's very, very good.
Oh, excellent.
So that will be a great old festival.
Sounds
all
good.
All together.
It's an Irish
festival. It's your ho-ho, Jesus, I can't wait.
So,
we don't peddle in cliches here. Yeah?
No, we cycle in them instead.
Oh, good lord.
And into the top 10.
Oh, thank heaven.
At 10, Carmen, the Met Opera.
Yay, culture!
Yay.
Nah, boots culture. Get out of our top 10. We want to see movies in there.
Yeah, which managed to make sure that Watch neither up. The Guarantee nor 1 Million Dubliners and 2 Irish Films released this week entered the top 10. So. Which is no harm in the case of Guarantee, but it's a very big shame in the case of 1 Million Dubliners. Both of my reviews are on the website, and I encourage you.
And they're fine reviews, by the way. You should read them.
Bum, bum, bum. La, da, da. Sorry, it's Carmen. Da, da,
oh,
da,
good lord, somebody's stopping.
La, da, da.
Quick, move on to number 9.
Yeah, no, unless it was Carmen Electra, and you know, then maybe I might go.
Oh, for goodness sake.
At 9. Annabelle.
I'm hanging around like a bad smell. Annabelle.
This is the last. This was the Halloween weekend.
It's done okay, though.
It has done quite well, but I am surprised it's had a 44% drop this weekend. At Halloween, I'm for a horror film that's.
It's been
not
like 4
great.
Weeks, though.
That's true. It has made its money, so
yeah,
fair enough.
But goodbye now, please. Thank you.
€650,000 later.
Yep.
At 8, The Maze Runner.
Yay.
That sums it up nicely.
Yep. Yeah. As maze has runners. What's not to love?
It's going to finish with over 700,000. So
yeah,
not too shabby.
Good for it, then.
So we await with eager anticipation.
The Maze Runner 2.
The Maze Runner saga, Scorch Trials.
Scorch Trials, though.
Yeah, really?
That's what the second one's called.
I really can't wait to find out what that's about. Not.
At 7 is Alexander and Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
There is a midterm bounce in action. Yeah. It went up 5% this week. So, like we said before, it's for kids, and it's, you know, the target audience is there.
Perfect, and it is a perfectly fine film.
Damning with faint praise there, man.
It is the very definition of a 3-star children's film.
Oh, okay, that's good.
2.5.
Oh, God. I don't like to do halves.
I love doing
He doesn't do things by halves.
At 6, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's no halves about this. Except maybe one half. I haven't seen it, but...
Comfortably making its way towards €1 million. It's disgusting.
It's nowhere near the money it made in the States.
I don't...
That doesn't matter. No, that's $1 million too much.
It's hard. I just... The thoughts of it fill me with horror. I didn't see it, obviously. I won't see it. Ever.
Curiosity might fill me one day, and I might take a peek, and then
watch
I'll
it on TV on a Saturday afternoon.
Maybe,
and be miserable for the rest of the weekend. I very much think not. Anyway, move on.
At 5, Nightcrawler.
Yes.
So it entered at 5.
Have you seen this now?
Yes.
We've all seen it.
Excellent.
I wrote the review.
You did.
I have the official verdict on this one. It's on the website.
I would have gone higher.
What did you give it?
A 3.5.
I think that's about right. There's a 3, 3.5.
I would have 4.
Oh, okay.
Mind you,
I have in my top 10 of the year so far.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It
really liked it.
It's on the peripheral of my top 20, but it may not be there.
It's not quite top 20.
It's a kind of 21, 22 at the moment. It's not going to be there.
No, it wouldn't be there for me, but I did like it.
I liked it, and I liked the fact that however broad its targets were and how kind of it didn't really say anything new.
It didn't.
Whilst doing all that, it still managed to be a very, very fine thriller.
And
very well made and very, very well put together.
Very well made for a debut.
Yeah.
Dan Gilroy.
Fine cast.
Rene Russo is back.
God bless
her. Yes.
She's an outsider for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, I say give her the nod. She's good.
Doing her best fade on the Radio Network.
That's the thing, though. It is essentially network on wheels.
And network is, you know...
Well, it was a superior film,
It's the one to judge all these kind of things by, really.
But that's the thing. It's going to be compared to that or Broadcast News or something.
It was not as subversive, I think, or as...
It is. It's mad as hell. Okay, then.
And it stays within the parameters. You want it to be a little more dangerous.
It's not,
but
it's
very
not a
interesting.
Satire
no.
like Let Network was.
No, know? It's not. But
no. Though it is full-blooded. I mean, it earns its 16th rating.
It's full on. That cinematography is beautiful.
Nice. It is.
The opening scenes, just the shots of LA are astonishing.
Blade Runner-esque.
They're really beautiful and really set the tone for the film. Like, I liked it a lot. And Gyllenhaal is fantastic.
Yeah, excellent performance.
Those eyes, man. Those eyes pierce into your soul, don't they?
Especially with that hair slicked back. You've got nothing else to look at.
It's great the way... Like, I love it. And that's why the one thing I didn't really like about the script is that kind of... reading off pamphlets kind of talk, you know, that kind of I used to be a horse online. I really like it. That's right.
It's because he's a sociopath.
He exists like that.
He has no concept.
But it works so well.
He
runs it nicely, and his readings of the lines are great.
He's essentially sprouting like every possible like 7 secrets.
Yeah. Exactly all that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of, what's the table of needs sort of thing, you know, that the hierarchy of needs and stuff like that. It's all that kind of it's very well done in that regard, I think.
Corporate buzz speak.
Yeah,
but when he spells it the way he does, it actually comes across as really creepy.
Which of course it is. I think it makes it really creepy.
It's when he's staging some of the crime scenes to get better shots.
That's the worst of it, certainly.
And the car chase is the best of the year.
Yeah,
I agree with that. It's terrific. Yeah. And it looks kind of it doesn't look like there's too much CGI in it. It looks actually properly filmed, properly done.
I'll give it all that. I would say, though, the biggest issue I have is that plotting...
It's quite broad.
It's quite broad and a little repetitive.
And a little cartoonish.
Because after a while, it's like, we get it. He's doing this.
Pretty much.
Over and over.
But on the whole.
Still, I like it.
I was on the edge of my seat for numbers.
I was in no doubt how it was going to end, though.
He was in the house and he was going around. I was like,
that was good. That was very good.
Yeah,
but I just didn't doubt how it was going to end, and it ended exactly how I thought it would. So when I say with a little more danger to it,
yeah,
would have made a much better film. But I liked what was there.
Indeed, I second that.
And at four,
that animation we were talking about,
The Book of Life.
Yeah.
So this is perfectly timed for Halloween. It's about Dia de los Muertos, so you know.
And again, the midterm bounce up 19%.
Yep,
scuttling towards half a million.
Another animation.
Yeah,
it should have done better than that.
Probably. It's
a beautiful film. It is.
But I haven't seen much about it. I haven't seen much advertising.
It was kind of hard to market.
Yeah, I think that may be a problem.
You know, you can't sell it on the strength of Guillermo del Toro because children don't watch watch
no.
anything.
Like, nor should they.
They're not going to watch Mimic or Kronos.
We can but hope.
Yeah, would they?
Could you even market it on the cast of Diego Luna, Zoe Saldana, and Channing Tatum?
But the other two,
that's
not so
thing.
Much.
No.
It's just hard to place it, but still, it'll make happening.
Right.
At three, Fury.
Grr. It's doing all right. $550,000.
It's a film I should see, yet I've no interest in seeing.
Ditto.
There you go. That's all I can say about it.
I'm hearing from people that's really good.
So do I. And yet, it still doesn't one iota make me more want to see it. I just don't.
I've heard that you can watch it and not realise that Shia LaBeouf's in it. So
that's always an advantage.
That is a plus.
Definitely. That's a half a star right there.
Ouch.
At two, then doing Gangbusters. Gone Girl.
She does it again.
Wow. It's like,
wow.
2.3 million on the guts of it.
Down from one, but just
only just. And as well as that, it's in its fifth week and still playing at 57 locations. It's pulling in the audiences everywhere.
It's 14th highest box office in the UK, and it's still climbing. So
it'll break the top 10 here, anyway.
It's a very interesting film. It's not without its problems, to say the least.
But look at the charts, right? Nightcrawler, Fury, and Gone Girl are all films aimed at an adult audience, which is rare.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's good to see. I mean, like I recommend a couple of those easy. I mean, I haven't seen Fury, but Nightcrawler and Gone Girl, I've recommended people. With reservations and Gone Girl to some degree, but still in all.
Yeah, but I think that's the effect of, like, Nightcrawler has, its main thing for its selling point is Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
And Gyllenhaal, he is good, and he's a name, very distinctive name indeed, but he's not Ben Affleck and Dan Gilroy, he's not quite David Fincher yet. That's the thing.
But having said that, though, I enjoyed Nightcrawler in some ways more than Gone Girl. Which is not to say I think it's a better film, but I enjoyed it more.
They'd make a nice companion.
They're very... Double. Yeah, they could be easily compared, and they would make a good double bill. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Double bill, although probably not the kind of genre that would be associated with double bill. Although Gone Girl can get a little trashy at times. Okay, I say a little.
Well, they're both stories about the corruptive power of media. In
Nightcrawler especially.
Certainly gets into it.
You could team them if you needed to. But it's
the media.
And then one is
something we're not going to be discussing much, I shouldn't think.
I just don't care.
Ouija. Why? Halloween. That's why.
Yeah.
This won't be in at number one next week.
I'm going to guess at probably the largest drop of the year next week.
One and done.
Yeah, I may well do.
At number one and done? Oh, good.
We'll see.
That would be quite something.
It'll be something, yeah. Hilarious.
Yes, hilarious indeed.
So, on to the week's new releases.
Bum, 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 bum.
And we have a number, but let's face it, one.
Let's start with
more than one, Philip.
I know there's more than one, but there's one.
Yeah, Philip Stein.
Let's
just call me a Philip Stein.
I did.
Oh, God, that's a new low.
Let's start in alphabetical order with the biggest release of the week.
If not the year.
I know.
It should be.
Tell me down your enthusiasm, man. Jesus.
A November film is rarely the biggest movie of the year, although we will see in 3 weeks' time, 2 weeks' time, when Mockingjay it opens.
And then Bloody Lord, the
biggest release the of the year.
The thing is...
The Hobbit won't be as big.
The thing is, people were hyping up Interstellar to be that.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
People saw it in the States.
Yeah.
And word started getting out.
But the thing is, And this is what fascinates me about Interstellar, is just that word is coming out. They're essentially saying, it's good, but... And I haven't seen any two reviews that dislike it for the same reason or like it for the same reason.
Yes.
There's a lot to talk about.
I think on the pro side, I think a lot of Nolan fans get caught up, I think, a little bit in the scale.
Well, the scale is impressive.
Yeah, it is, but you have to also realise that it's not...
It's not everything.
Everything. It's not, and it's not everything.
I know, I mean, I know. Well, okay, look, for the sake of disclosure, I am a fan of Nolan's work, and... Having seen Interstellar, it's not near the top. It's lower tier, despite its big themes, its big budget, its big cast. Everything about it is big.
And in some ways, that's its problem.
It is. It's far too ambitious. My review is on the site, and this is exactly what I've pinpointed as the problem. The central story is Matthew McConaughey's Cooper is an engineer living in a future where the whole world is riddled with blight, our crops are dying.
He's a former NASA pilot who, when they cut the space program because of the fact that the world was facing a global famine, becomes a farmer.
Yeah. Odd career choice, but there you go.
Well, everyone becomes a farmer, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah. Because the one thing that nobody has is food, everyone is trying to grow food.
You see, already this is starting to sound a bit too far-fetched, even...
But I suppose that's the thing. You have to go with the thing anyway.
It's just a different take on a global pandemic. Instead of the people getting sick, crops are getting sick.
Okay,
you know,
fair enough.
Okay,
the pandemic,
well,
but not a
horror. They do reference
Ireland.
I remember that was... But, well, actually, we're talking about this, and it's actually the first hour I think works best.
I don't agree with you. We said that at the time when we saw it.
Yeah. In that it sets up a lot of characters, a lot of ideas. The key characters being Cooper and his daughter, played by young actress Mackenzie Foy. She's actually one of the best performers in it.
And Nolan puts a lot of character work in, more than he generally would here. And
in everybody.
Yeah.
John Lithgow is great as well.
Yeah. John Lithgow has...
He doesn't have much to do, but what he does...
He's the presence.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of actors like that in this film. Yeah. There's him, there's David Oyelowo, there's even a big cameo, which we won't spoil.
Sir Michael Caine in his generic Sir Michael Caine role.
There was a story on a movie site today which had a story about the actor that's in it that we won't name in another film. And then at the end of the story about him appearing in another film in the future said, you've seen him right recently in a name, Interstellar. At the end of it, it's like, you idiots.
No, because it's a lovely reveal when it happens. It also completely derails the film. But
yes, it does, and that's where the problem.
That is
not because of the actor.
That is
the
point at which the entire thing unspools. Because up until that point, I was like, "Oh my god, this is amazing."
I had a couple of issues before that. More about we remember. I kind of said we were talking about it afterwards that when Anne Hathaway gives her love speech.
It is going to go down.
At that point, I was like, okay, hang on a second. We may have issues here. I'm going to be returning to this at some point, I'm sure. And then we land, and then we see the actor. And the actor's fine. He's a fine actor.
It's just his character is a walking metaphor.
Oh, and it's a cliche. Like, you know exactly who he's going to be almost straight away. You know what he's going to do. You know he's a nice guy. Is he? Let's see. Or maybe he's not.
And at the same time, the other threads, the one that's happening at home, reaches the preposterous point as well.
It's all pretty preposterous,
but then it just goes that one step too far into just, what? Oh, come on.
Just a bit. But I kept with it for two reasons. One, the cast said it. McConaughey, another excellent turn from him.
And the message from Chastain. Both of them are...
Yeah. She's
great, though. She's so good. She hasn't got much to work with. But, God, when she gets her moments, like, she kills it. Absolutely kills it.
This is what
the moment when she hugs her brother as well. Yeah. You know that he's so angry. And then
that's Casey Affleck in a role which is...
He's completely underserved.
He basically just gets it. Moan about stuff for a couple of months, and that's it.
He doesn't even get to fight Topher Grace, so, you know.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like you said, the couple of moments where she has to send a message to her father, who's off in space, she's not even sure if he's still alive. But it hit. It actually got me. It will get
it's the
hearing.
Only thing that actually has that.
It works
to that level,
and it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because there is far too much plot going on. This is my problem with the film. The key through line is this relationship between father and daughter across time and across space. That works.
Yeah.
The problem is there's too much going on around it. Yeah. It mutes the impact.
Also, I had problems with the last act. The last.
Yeah.
It's too on the nose in terms of what happens early on.
A little too niche.
It's so neat. Like where you look at something like, and I know 2001 gets mentioned. 2001 gets mentioned all the time because it casts a shadow over everything, right?
It's so 2001.
Yeah, but hang on, it is, and you know Nolan loves 2001. You can see that, you can hear it, you can see, like
no,
you know
that,
right?
That
yes.
sequence.
And they're passing through space.
Yeah,
that's.
Oh, it is.
It is. Completely. No, beginning of the second act.
No, not the wormhole one. The other passing.
I know. The old early on.
No, the later one.
The light's like the penultimate scene.
Yeah, I agree.
True.
But when we get to that point after that, where you see something in 2001 where you get the kind of aging thing that starts with a lot of that kind of stuff, where there's depth, there's weirdness, there's. Stuff left ambivalent to what it means. Here, he's telling you and wrapping everything up and saying, this is your film. This is what we meant earlier. This is when you see this little bit that we telegraphed earlier. This is what that was there.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on a second, Chris. We don't need that.
This is the thing. 2001 was relatively plotless.
Yeah. And for me, the brilliance of the setup of Interstellar is like, they're going to somewhere that they may never come back from. That unknown thing is terrifying.
Yeah.
And to take that
and wrap it up.
And wrap it up when you didn't need to wrap it up is insane to me. Like it robs the film of its scope to some degree.
And
you know?
Dakota is I didn't need that either.
I didn't mind that so much.
Really?
Oh, it was pointless.
It's pointless,
and it was 15 minutes too long.
At least.
Yeah, but no, I mean by that point you were exhausted. It's like, oh, we just trudge through another bit that nobody really cares about. And it's the same thing that you're going to see in every movie. Oh, let me say, I'm going to walk in and look at my spaceship. Hang on, just one minute.
No. I see if... Like,
it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, no.
Yeah, it is.
I did not know.
This is what we're saying. It's this script that's the problem. There's too much going on around the central storyline, but which I will stress, because of McConaughey, Foy, and Chastain, it works.
Yeah. It's a solid 3-star film for me. It's, as you said, it's not major Nolan.
No, I like it more than you.
You do.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do.
Because apart from, we've talked about the script. I cannot stress enough how insanely huge the thing is. If you're going to see it, biggest screen you can find.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, IMAX with the sound.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hans Zimmer's score. He's baiting Strauss, and it's deafening.
And also,
and glass.
The room vibrates.
Yes,
it's true.
That's amazing.
That's designed that way. And this, you see, this is why, even though this is not top tier Nolan, I just thank goodness he's still doing it.
Also, exactly. I was going to say that. And I think once I'm maybe seem overly critical, I want to kind of put a caveat on that in the sense that Nolan is the one filmmaker with. You can take some
talent.
I do think within the next 20 years Nolan is going to absolutely kill something of astonishing world, like top level stuff,
and
I'll wait, and then maybe it may take it come down the budget and to actually make something a little more personal to do it. Maybe, I mean, how could he top this in terms of scale?
He can't. I'll
always be there for his films. But it doesn't necessarily mean he always makes great ones. And in this case, I don't think he does.
I agree. It's not a great one.
I think that first sequence, that start, and we continue on until the second planet, is as good as sci-fi gets. I don't think sci-fi gets it better than that.
Well, it's visuals and scale.
For me,
yes. I think it has problems all the way through.
But for me, 2001 is the best sci-fi I've ever done. Second, though, the first two acts of Sunshine.
Yeah, again.
Before it turns into a slasher movie.
Completely
pointless.
Interstellar as well.
Yeah. That reminded me of, in some ways, that exact kind of thing we were talking about.
If anything, Event Horizon is how you do this.
Yeah. We laugh, but I'm kind of...
You're right. That is how to do a space slasher.
Not Contact is how not.
to the well,
I doubt to do with the staff.
No, like, but again, Contact, the ending.
Reality. Yeah.
Do you think that maybe McConaughey rewatched Contact thought, this isn't all right. I gotta do something right. Well, who's that? Nolan? Okay, let's see the script. Okay, let's all do right, it. All right.
As if he needs Nolan calls him. He's like, no, it doesn't matter what the script is, you're doing the film.
I watched an interview with Jessica Chastain the other day. She said exactly that. Yeah, I took the role before she read the script.
Listen, it's fine. Like, as I said, Niall, what were you out of five?
Three and a half.
You talk like a three.
Yeah, we're more or less the same.
I want to go. I so want to go four, but I can't.
It's not four. It's definitely not four.
But you know what? If heaven forfend, Michael Bay did this with all its flaws.
There's a reason why people don't go see Michael Bay films like me. It's because Michael Bay sucks.
Mm.
Christopher Nolan, for his faults in his films, does not suck.
He's a
fine filmmaker. Memento is still his masterpiece, but boy God, every time he brings out a film, I want to see it.
Ditto. And you know what? I'm finding in the wake of all this, a lot of people come out saying, you know, his masterpiece is The Prestige. I like The Prestige a lot.
But so do I. But it's not even a second best.
No, I would have
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Inception.
Batman Begins.
There's an Inception ahead of it as well. And then Batman Begins above it as well. Yeah, I'd agree.
And I'm the only person in the world who likes Dark Knight Rises. Okay.
Yes, you are. We'll move on.
Next.
So many problems.
I could do a podcast extra talking about the problems
and
that film.
And I love.
I know you do.
I love Batman.
You started this film.
I know I did.
But
every one of his films has
the feeling of utter awe and disappointment that I had coming out of Dark Knight Rises is almost exactly the same as the feeling of utter awe and disappointment I had coming out of Interstellar.
Except Interstellar is a better film.
Interstellar is a better film. But
I take the point. I absolutely take the point. Anywho.
The science in it.
Yeah. But this is the point. You had awe and disappointment. Few filmmakers can reach his awe.
This is true. This is a fair point, though.
So then, on to probably the best film of the week.
Quite possibly.
Leviathan and Philip.
Yes, indeed. I saw this at London. My review is on the site.
I'm sorry. I'm going to resist that because I haven't seen all of the films you've seen. I'm disgustingly jealous.
Sure, jealous.
Sure.
Yeah, this
go on.
Please tell us about Leviathan.
Yes, please, Philip.
This is Hans Riesewagensev's drama. It is a fine drama, a biting satire on the Russian state, and it's excellent, absolutely great stuff. Basic story is a mechanic where it lives in a rural village on the fishing village on the Barents Sea, and he is having some legal troubles. The mayor of this local town is seeking to evict him and his family so that he can basically build himself a little mayoral palace.
Okay.
The mechanic brings in a friend, an old army friend of his from Moscow, who is now a very successful lawyer, to try and help him fight his case. That's the basic storyline, but from there we get a few little twists and turns and nosedives, and we get a fascinating array of characters, all of whom seem to play into some kind of commentary on modern Russia. The mayor being a particularly, not so much interesting, it's just a very memorable one, an overweight drunk who basically thinks he can do whatever he wants and is in the pocket of local clergy.
Whose name is Boris Yeltsin.
A level bureaucracy mayor is always the cartoon character, isn't it?
Always.
Anyways,
hey, right. You, get that steel drum out of the mayor's office. Mayor Quimby.
Right, go on.
But it's great. The commentary and the drama drive each other. As I say, the drama goes on with some twists and turns and some very human failings. Occasionally borders on soapy, but it stays just the right side of it. And the commentary, meanwhile, it just keeps coming thick and fast. There's one great scene where the lawyer goes to visit the mayor in his office. And the two most notable things... big Russian flag in the corner and a portrait of Vladimir Putin on the wall. I just think, okay, this is one man, he's going up against all of Mother Russia. And it is a big fight. It's essentially David and Goliath. They are fighting this massive Leviathan.
Yeah.
And in this village, by the sea is populated by whales. And one of the most memorable sights in the film is one that's also in its poster.
Poster's terrific.
this giant whale skeleton that has been washed up. It's clearly been there for years. It's intact. The whale must have died there. But it's... I don't know if it's real, but I hope it is. And I
as opposed to if it's digital kind of art made.
Yeah, because it's just such a striking sight. Because there you have the message of the film, the whole thing. This huge leviathan, Russia, the whale, whatever. It's rotted. It's done. There's a great scene about halfway through when the mechanic and the lawyer and the family and a few friends, they go on a shooting party come picnic, and they opt to do some target practice, and one of the friends brought along famed portraits of former Soviet leaders. And so you have Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev, and the mechanic asked his friend, why no modern leaders? Not enough political not enough political I had it in my mind a minute ago, but it's great. The point is, I suck at this. Not enough political relevance.
Ooh.
Ooh.
They really stick the knife in, don't they?
Don't they? This is the point about Leviathan.
That's Putin is mildly.
Yeah. There
hey.
He's on the wall in the mayor's office. How long before he's a target practice?
I need to see this film.
You do. It's excellent. It's won a lot of prizes. Won best film at London, won best screenplay at Cannes.
Are you that enamoured of it? I don't think you would be as rating as highly maybe as other people are rating it.
It's not quite 5 star. Like I say,
you gave it four.
I gave it 4 stars. It's, as I say, the drama borders on soapy, and as the plot goes on, in the final act, the commentary, it gets a bit heavy-handed, it gets a bit didactic.
Okay.
But those thoughts are forgivable, because on the whole, the film works.
Excellent.
Big time.
So there's a number of smaller films that are opening this week. There's 3 at the IFI. I'll come back to them. There's a new Keira Knightley starring film called Laggies in the States, called Say When over here.
Say what?
No, not called Say
When.
Oh,
right, sorry.
No, Say When. Okay. Say When.
Say When.
Yeah. But I've never heard of this until today, so.
It's Knightley. Sam Rockwell, and your favourite, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, she's a fine actress.
It's supposed to be okay. It's Lynn Shelton.
Lynn Shelton's directing.
Ah, okay.
It's got Sam Rockwell, so therefore I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, it's got decent in reviews.
It's about a girl who's suffering a quarter-life crisis. And
oh, this is...
Yeah,
well, wow, it's a female version of me. Any disease.
Well, her boyfriend proposes to her, and then she decides to try to get away. And
I haven't been proposed to, admittedly, but still, quarter-life crisis
yet,
can't be in.
Not yet.
I'd like to think I'm only having my quarterly prices now as well. Yeah.
That implies you're going to live to 120
20, yeah.
Plus.
So we'll go with that. Not very much plus there, Phil. Thanks very much. So, there's also The Skeleton Twins.
Mm.
Yeah, which is,
this is getting very good.
Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader.
Luke Wilson,
yeah.
Mm, I think that cast says a lot of it. If you like them, you like this.
Exactly. Yeah. Bill Hader is that sort of divisive type of figure.
Not for me, I hate him.
I don't.
Now, there you go.
I don't mind him.
Anytime it turns on the screen, I go, ah, really?
Yeah, so then this is not for you.
Kristen Wiig, though, I really like. She
I do
saves
like
Bridesmaids? No, the one, the Noah Baumbach's film. It's nice. Cornelius Casey. Black and white one.
Francis
Ha.
No, that's
not
no,
very
Greta,
good.
God.
It's Greta.
Oh, is it Greta Gerwig? Oh, I missed them up. Oh, sorry, forget me.
This is directed by Craig Johnson. It's about two estranged twins who both coincidentally cheat debt on the same day, and then they attempt to reunite. So
sounds a little forced, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I can do
it.
I don't. I honestly got. Anyway, elsewhere, Sakura Graw is on in the IFI. So
I've heard polite things about this, but I'd like to see it, not least because it won the Golden Lion at Venice.
Roar.
That's Jay's impression of the lion there.
A very tired lion, but it sounds it.
indeed.
So this is about. People who roam autobahn around, or the road around, the ring road around Rome. Which is the GRA, the giant ring road around Rome. So, yeah, and basically trying to see what happens to the people at either side.
Is this a documentary or a feature?
It's a feature.
Okay.
Sounds like an Italian Dark Days. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, so.
I could live without seeing Dark Days again.
It's grim, but it's great.
It is grim.
So then there's a re-release, Playtime.
Now, you were talking about the best film this week. It's Playtime.
There we go.
No argument.
I've never seen Playtime. I will be seeing it on the big screen because I've never seen it. So
I'm going to see it. I've never seen it on the big screen, but Tati, you can't go wrong.
I've never seen it either, so
yeah.
I will take this opportunity.
I saw it. I'm definitely going to see it. I've heard nothing but great things from anybody that's ever mentioned that's seen it.
Misirulo.
Misirulo
is the classic creation of Jacques Tati, Les Vacances de Misirulo and all this kind of thing, which Rowan Atkinson tried to remake as Mr. Bean's Holiday, but there you go. So,
oh, great.
Basically, it's set in...
He's a French Mr. Bean.
But a lot better. Basically, it's...
involves my teapot.
That'd be Mr. P, but they...
Listen, that's good enough for me.
Michel Legume. Yeah. Whatever.
The first one sounded funnier. Basically, I'll go with it.
It's not terribly plot-driven. It just basically involves Mr. Hulot walking around this futuristic
Paris. It's a gigantic set, isn't it, from what I read of it?
Yeah. Exactly. And just running with it. And it's... It was so visually inventive, especially considering the time it was made. It was 1967. It's just the imagination on display. Nobody can do this stuff like Tati.
I've never seen it, but I'm looking at some of the stills today of it. It reminds me of this. If you look at the stills of Roy Anderson films, *View to Living* and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of grey sets, the kind of at angular kind of thing. Poor workers in there.
Yeah.
Thing. It has that. And it's like, if it's anything like that, I'm in.
Yeah. It's very. You can see a lot of Tati and Anderson.
Excellent. I'm definitely in. So
there you go.
And then the last film of the week is the new Irish release, *Don Foreman's Out of Here*.
Yes, I watched this again last night. I will say, if we're talking about best films of the week, I haven't seen Playtime or Leviathan, but Out of Here is better than Interstellar as a film. It's a 4-star for me. It's absolute gem. Fionn Walton plays Kieran, a young guy who comes back from after travelling out of the country for 8 months to a year. It's kind of left fairly vague. And he comes back to a Dublin that he doesn't really recognise. He's out of sync for his family, friends, ex-girlfriend, potential new girlfriend, and he just kind of gets lost in it.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, low key, funny when it needs to be, sad when it needs to be, but doesn't overplay anything. It's a gorgeous film. Go and see it.
I said in Dublin. You make it sound very compelling.
It is excellent. It really is excellent.
I might just.
So that's an IFI exclusive.
Yeah, it's seriously worth seeing. Donald Foreman is going to be a significant filmmaker for years to come, I would suspect.
And also worth seeing your review on the website.
Yes. Do read. It's fantastic.
The film, that is.
No, the film is fantastic also.
He's good. He is good.
Donald may be the foreman, but Jason is the architect.
Ba-dum.
Oh, Lord. I think that's our cue.
Yeah.
On that note, we should leave it for the week.
Very good.
Bye. Bye.